Somehow the link just canceled, and when I tried to bring it up, I think I inadvertently canceled it myself. And I was on a roll. This is the devil. So pray. We bind the devil. Evidently, what I'm teaching, this is very important, and people are listening and getting some information that they need. And so what I'll do is this. I'll go a bit longer because of the delay. If you know someone, we did post some new links on the Facebook page if they need to go, or if you're on Crusaders, you can of course view it. If you're the Google Hangout, you need to go to the new links and view it. Well, I'm talking about prophetic presbytery, and I'm ministering from my book, God Still Speaks, about the importance of having prophetic gatherings in the local church, and having the elders to lay hands and prophesy over people, having your leaders to lay hands and prophesy over you because of their governmental position and the authority in their life. God uses their office, their authority to really release strong prophetic words into our lives. Now, I know that some churches do not have a prophetic culture, even Pentecostal charismatic churches. They may say they believe in prophecy, even teach on prophecy, but really have never developed it. And sometimes the leaders, the pastors, does not really move very much in prophecy. But we believe that's changing in a lot of churches around the world. Pastors and leaders are beginning to upgrade their understanding and their knowledge in the prophetic, and their responsibility to impart into the lives of their members, their spiritual sons, their spiritual daughters. This is something that we take very seriously as leaders, as pastors, as elders. And remember, the foundation of Scripture is 1 Timothy 4:14. Paul told Timothy, neglect not the gift that is in you, that was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the elders or presbytery. And evidently this was either at his ordination or sometime in his life when the elders gathered around him, laid hands on him, and began to prophesy over his life. And there was a release of a gifting into his life. And we found that when elders and leaders lay hands and prophesy over individuals, that there's a great release of grace, a great release of gifting, a great release of confirmation, a great release of edification, exhortation, comfort, correction, direction. These are things that begin to happen when we lay hands on individuals and prophesy over them. So it's very important that we begin to rediscover this, begin to redo this in our local church. And let me talk about the restoration of prophetic presbytery. The practice of the ministry of prophetic presbyteries remained absent for the church for many generations after the early church was dispersed unto the latter rain movement of the 1940s in North America. Many churches began to operate in presbyteries during the latter rain movement. However, after a short time, the practice again declined significantly. One of the reasons for this is that very few books were written by leaders of the latter rain movement. We're living in times of restoration. Prophetic presbytery is a part of restoration truth that churches should receive and operate in. Restoration churches are recovering truth, revelation, and ministry that have been absent or neglected in the church for generations. With restored truth comes a greater ability for breakthrough and release of ministry. Prophetic presbytery is like a spiritual technology that the enemy desires to keep from the local church because it can be so effective in strengthening the church. I have a heart to see it fully restored. I have seen firsthand the benefits of prophetic presbyteries in Crusaders Church, over which I am an overseer. And so again, that's from the book God Still Speaks. And if you've not yet written and gotten a copy of this, you can, after the program, just go to johneckhartministries.com. You can order the book, or you can go to christianbook.com. You can order it from Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's sold in so many different places. And get a copy and just begin to pray about this. And hopefully there are pastors and leaders that are viewing this program, and it will stir in you a desire to get this moving in your assembly. If you do prophesy, maybe you need a greater level of prophecy. Your elders, your leaders, the prophets, the apostles, Or maybe you need to connect with others outside of your church who are apostles and prophets that you can bring in to prophesy over your leaders and over key people in your church during what we call prophetic gatherings. Now, we do this in our Impact Conference every year. We ordain individuals because some people come from places where the prophetic level is very low. They're part of our network, and we always call, we have a network of strong apostles and prophets in our network from around the world. We call individuals, we lay hands on them, we prophesy, and it is a great, great release, a great impartation, a great establishing in their lives because, again, these are fivefold ministers, governmental ministers. Now, in a presbytery, we try to have an apostle and a prophet. Apostles are very governmental, and they tend to prophesy order, structure. They tend to establish things. Prophets, of course, have a tremendous a prophetic ability to go into detail on a person's life. All prophets should be able to prophesy. And so you have that balance. The apostle sometimes deal with the order in a person's life, establishing things, imparting things. The prophet may go into more detail, specifics with the word of knowledge over a person's life. You can also have teachers that prophesy. They often get into the importance of the word of God in a person's life. You can have an evangelist that prophesies or a pastor that prophesies. As long as they're governmental gifts, elders or leaders in the local church, so much is released through this, so much confirmation, so much direction, so much impartation, so much establishing, adjusting, order is set in a person's life until we've seen people who received this kind of ministry at a turning point in their life completely shifted and turned and transformed because of this kind of ministry. And it's something that brings tremendous blessing to the local church. Let me just discuss from the book a few more principles of prophetic presbytery. We always encourage the whole church to attend. We always encourage the believers to attend so they can hear the word of the Lord that's spoken over the lives of individuals, because many of these individuals are members, they're members of the church, they're leaders of the church, their family comes to hear the word of the Lord spoken over their life, their spiritual family is there, they get much encouragement, much blessing as a result of this kind of ministry. The leadership of the church should attend because as leaders we need to hear what the Lord is saying over the members of the church who are getting this kind of ministry. We need to, because we're the ones that are overseeing them, we need to hear what God says about them so we can have a better understanding of what their calling is, what their gifting is. And so it's something that we encourage the whole church to attend. It's really a prophetic gathering. It can last a day. It can last one evening. It can last several evenings. We've done presbyteries where we gathered the church together for maybe three nights. We have praise and worship. We set the atmosphere. We have a certain number of candidates that are getting that kind of ministry. We gather the elders, the presbyters. We call up the candidates sometimes six, seven, eight a night. So in three nights, we can do maybe 25 leaders, 25 people. We lay hands, we prophesy, and it is just a tremendous, tremendous release of God's grace and God's blessing that occurs in that person's life. Now, this does not replace personal prophecy, prophets, prophetic teams. We do all of it. It's just a special time that we call a prophetic gathering that we actually fast and pray because we really want to see God move in the lives of certain individuals that are either asked for this kind of ministry or we select for this kind of ministry. On page number 194, David Blumgram mentions 13 benefits of the for the various ministries in the body of Christ and the need for them. If this goes off again, we'll just have to continue. Number three, a setting in of ministries in the local assembly. Number four, finding one's place in the body of Christ. Number five, the confirmation of the will of God for the candidate. Number six, the further development of ministries within the local body. Number seven, specialized assistance through prophetic revelation and individual lives. Number eight, the strengthening of the whole church in a better understanding of God's ways through receiving prophetic ministry. Number 9, the raising of the spiritual level of the whole church through seeking the Lord and fasting and prayer. Number 10, the receiving of prophetic direction for the whole church. Sometimes in prophetic presbyteries, we also begin to prophesy over the whole church. Sometimes we actually give words to individuals that are coming to the presbytery who are not actually receiving this kind of ministry, because the atmosphere is so charged with a prophetic spirit until it's a great way to release the word of the Lord over churches, over other people as well. Number 11, the imparting of gifts and blessings to believers by the laying on of hands. Number 12, a greater recognition of God's order in the authority of the local leadership as overseers of the lives of the people. And number 13, a deposit of faith in the hearts of the congregation to see God's purposes fulfilled. Prophetic gatherings are times when destinies are revealed and released. Wow, that in itself is worth having prophetic gatherings. Again, prophetic gatherings are times when destinies are revealed and released. Prophecy has always been a vehicle through which the Lord has given direction, blessing, activation, and impartation to his people. This can be seen when Jacob gathered his sons together. Jacob spoke prophetically to his sons and detailed their destinies and inheritance in Genesis chapter 49. It is important for churches and believers to set aside times for prophetic gatherings. We have so many different meetings in the church. We have evangelistic gatherings, which are important. We have teaching gatherings, which are important. We have praise and worship gatherings, which are important. We have prayer gatherings, healing gatherings, deliverance gatherings, which are important. But sometimes we don't really have very many prophetic gatherings. And so these times can be times of power and release when accompanied by prayer and fasting and the laying on of hands of the elders, which is something that, again, we need to do more on a consistent basis. Sometimes the prophetic words spoken during the time of presbytery will not be fully fulfilled until years later. Sometimes what we release, it doesn't happen right away, but you can actually see things happen in the life of a person that received presbytery months or years ago, because sometimes the word of the Lord is not fulfilled immediately. With prophetic presbytery, believers can prepare for the future by aligning themselves with the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord will be tested, but a believer walking in faith and fulfillment will see the desired result. Well, I want to give a chance for some questions give you a chance to, ask. I know we have quite a number of them. I don't know exactly how many I'll be able to answer. Let me start with this one. If a person speaks a prophetic word and there is no witness within receiving the word, was it erroneous or was it an appropriate response? Well, sometimes you can get a word from someone and you don't have peace about it, or you don't receive a witness. There's no problem. We're to judge prophecy. We're not, just because someone says I have a word from the Lord does not mean it's from God. And it doesn't necessarily even mean that the person is a false prophet. Don't think that because someone misses, they're a false prophet. False prophets were people that were wicked, deceiving, deceitful, greedy, covetous. You know, anyone can make a mistake. So sometimes you'll get a word from someone and you won't feel comfortable about it. You won't have peace about it. It's always important to know the word, the written word of God for yourself, and have the peace of God in your heart. I received words from people and I didn't feel it was God. I didn't panic. I knew it wasn't from the Lord. I didn't condemn them or rebuke them. I just said thank you, and I just kept moving. So keep that in mind. Okay. Someone is coming from page 54 of my book. You say prophets usually carry a strong deliverance anointing. How typical is it to work the other way around? If a person has a strong deliverance anointing, is there a strong possibility that they are called to the office of a prophet? Okay, that can be true, but sometimes also evangelists have a strong deliverance anointing. Apostles carry a strong deliverance anointing. I believe that all of those gifts are really the apostle, prophet, and evangelist tend to operate in power. They have a strong either gifts of healing, gift of faith, working of miracles, which is a part of the deliverance ministry, the working of miracles. So it could be that if you have a strong deliverance ministry, that You can be an apostle, prophet, or an evangelist. You can also be a pastor with a strong deliverance ministry, even a teacher with a strong deliverance ministry. Or you can be a believer that's been trained to operate in deliverance. So it doesn't necessarily mean that you're a prophet, but I believe that prophets should carry a strong deliverance anointing because God does deliver people through his prophetic word, and I believe that every prophet should be trained in deliverance as well. Okay, thank you for that. Someone says, I hear from God through dreams and visions on a regular basis, but I don't seem to hear while awake. I've been told for years that I had the calling of a prophet on my life. Is this true even if not gotten a word of knowledge or wisdom? Well, if you have a lot of dreams and visions, it could be that you're a seer. It doesn't necessarily mean that you are a prophet. You can have a lot of dreams and visions. If you don't get a lot of words while you're awake, you may need to develop that. You may need to develop your sensitivity to hearing the voice of God. And we'll talk about activation in some future broadcast. I believe that can be developed because I believe that every believer should hear the voice of God on a consistent basis and not just when you're sleeping at night. So it is important to develop that. And don't be discouraged. We'll talk about that in a future program. Okay. How do I handle a situation where the Lord gave me a word to give my pastor? My pastor rebuked me, but then 1 month later, an apostle gave the same word and it was received. Okay. Well, sometimes pastors have a hard time receiving from their members. That's unfortunate. Sometimes pastors have a mentality that the only one that can minister to me is another minister. And that is an erroneous concept. It is not humility. But sometimes leaders have been taught that the only one we can minister to you, but you really can't minister to us because we're on a higher level. And that's a terrible, terrible mindset that needs to be corrected. And if you are rebuked, that can bring a lot of hurt. And I really, you know, pray for you that you'll be healed from it. And the question is, how do I stay in a place when I'm not received? Well, that's up to you. Personally, I wouldn't stay anywhere where I'm not received. I would never die in a place. Sometimes believers die in churches. It's your decision. I wouldn't, but that's me personally. I wouldn't stay in a place where I'm rebuked and beaten up by leadership or where the leadership operates in a level of pride where they can't receive anything. That's personally me. Now, if I were you, I would pray about it, and I would find a place where I could be fed, taught, and my gift would be received. Okay? Let's see here. I heard a word you gave prophetically. I felt it was talking to me, but you called the other name. Yes, that happens sometimes. Sometimes when you prophesy to people, we've seen this in our church. Sometimes when we're prophesying to people, the word can actually be released to someone else, even though it wasn't specifically to that individual. You can feel it in your spirit. And that's not meant for you to grab everyone's prophecy and say, I'll take that for myself, or I'll take that for myself. But there is a possibility that can happen. We've seen that happen, and I've had it happen to me as well. So that's not unusual. It does happen. I would just be careful that I don't claim every word that someone else receives. Okay, thank you for that interesting question. Tamara, I heard a prophet preach and said that true prophets can prophesy the future, but through many teachings and books that I've read, prophetic gifts are different. Is it true that you have to know future events? I don't necessarily think that's true. It's very interesting that John the Baptist was a prophet, the greatest prophet of the Old Testament, and his prophecies were primarily exhortation. You don't see John the Baptist really predicting the future like Isaiah and Ezekiel and Daniel. He did say the kingdom was at hand, but he just basically exhorted the people to repent. So, but yet there's no in-depth prophecy about the future. So I think the different prophets have different graces and different giftings. Some prophets do operate very strongly in word of knowledge concerning the future or the present or even the past. Other prophets don't operate as strong in that. But I don't want you to get into the vine that you have to always predict the future to be prophetic. Remember, the basic definition of prophecy is edification, exhortation, and comfort. Prophets can also teach, they can preach, they can minister, they can deliver people, heal people. They have a ministry as well as prophesying. So we don't want to try to get out and predict everyone's future and step into a psychic realm and stop missing it and get into the wrong realm. It can be a thin line between prophecy and the psychic realm if you try to move too much into prediction if it's not your grace. Okay, thank you for that question. Answer this one from Tamara. Okay, again, the Lord has recently told me that I must be ready at all times with my gift of healing and deliverance. Therefore, I must fast weekly. Can you recommend a good way to start fasting? Yeah, stop eating. No, I'm just kidding. What I recommend is that you start fasting a day, maybe a day a week, just from morning to 8 or 9 in the evening. Water only if you can. You can increase it to 2 days a week if you feel led. If you want to go on a three-day fast to start off fasting and breakthrough, that helps. But just begin to develop a consistent pattern of fasting. Don't become legalistic or religious, so don't get into condemnation if you don't keep it. But just begin to develop a fasting lifestyle, and it'll be something that'll become a part of your nature. Okay. Here's my friend. Let's see. I believe this is Tony. Do you plan to make these teachings available in a download format for purchase? I'm slow. Okay, I'll work on that, Tony. You're always the technical man, and I'll work on it. We do have some very good technical people that work with me, and so I'll tell him that Tony said we need to get this out in a different format so that people can get it. I promise you I'll take care of that right away. Thank you for that encouragement. Okay, we have Leslie, regarding developing your prophetic gift, you spoke about flowing for a long period of time in one of your teachings. What exercises can we practice to develop our prophetic flow for a long period of time? One of the things we do in a prophetic activation is we use small groups to activate people, maybe groups of 2, 3, 4 people. We teach them, we pray for one another, and then we say, now are you hearing something for the person next to you? What are you hearing as you pray for them? And then when you hear, begin to release it. Begin to speak what you hear. That way we teach people in a small group how to begin to hear from God, usually after praying for someone, and how to begin to allow the word of the Lord to flow. Now we have different exercises that we use to take it further, but one of the best things to do is to do it in small groups. It's an atmosphere of love. There's no pressure. You can make a mistake. You're not in public forum. We're trying to make someone do something beyond their comfort level. So we begin with very small groups. Now I have on my Facebook page, if you look on my Facebook page, my larger Facebook page, I have some lessons that I posted, and I encourage everyone to go to that page. If you don't have it, just go to Apostle John Eckhart. I have two pages. The one where I have the salmon shirt. It's not pink, it's salmon. Remember that. You can see some articles about developing your giftings, and that will even go into more detail of how we activate. And we kind of push people. We teach them how to flow longer. Sometimes, you remember, the prophecy is a flow. Out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Sometimes people are hesitant because they don't want to make a mistake. They don't want to call a false prophet. So they lack faith, and they'll hear something and they'll start speaking and then they'll stop. And we encourage them, keep going. What is God saying? Keep developing, because God will speak more. So we begin to push people, and we begin to teach, train them how to flow longer. And that develops your faith, and that develops your flow, and you move from just giving a few words to being able to do it for minutes and for a longer period of time. And then, of course, when we get into deeper prophetic training, we prophesy for hours over people. We teach them how to line people up and prophesy for hours to develop strength, develop what we call prophetic stamina, the ability to flow. Because, again, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. It is a flow, and it can flow for a long period of time. Okay, thank you, Leslie, for that question. This is from Tamara. My husband and I have been released by God and pastored our ministry. My church has no presbytery. I am a seer, but I was wondering if it's wrong to seek out a presbytery in another house to speak into our lives. Yeah, nothing wrong with that. If you know of someone who knows how to flow in presbytery, it's okay, I believe, for you to do that. If you're in a relationship with them, that's fine. I think that if you don't have it in your house, you need this kind of ministry. Again, we do it in our network meetings. We do it every year in our network meetings. And we do it over pastors and leaders. So if you want to come and be a part and contact us, we'll help you in that area as well. Every June is our international conference. We do it there. But if you know of someone close to you that you can get to get this kind of ministry, two or three, an apostle, prophet, let them minister to you. I believe that's perfectly okay, as long as you know them. Okay, thank you for that question. Okay, here's Matthew. Should folks look differently at someone because of age when it comes to God speaking to them? No, you should not. Because remember, in the last days I pour my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. I think that one of the difficult things we have is that sometimes we look at people and say they're either too young or too old. We train our children to flow prophetically in our church. We believe if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you can be a teenager, a young person. Our children prophesy. Our teenagers prophesy. Our young people prophesy. And sometimes we look at people at their age and we judge them, and I think that's wrong. I think that if the person has been trained and developed, and of course, if you're more mature in God and you know more about the things of God, your prophetic flow will be stronger and deeper. If you've been serving God for years and you've been in the Word, as compared to maybe someone who's young, but someone who's young can also prophesy very strongly and powerfully. The river can also flow out of them. So be encouraged. If you're young, I want to help you to be encouraged in this gift. Can you explain the difference between a word of knowledge and a prophetic word? Well, the technical definition of prophecy is speaking words to edify, exhort, and comfort. It can be, fear not, I love you, I'm with you, I won't forsake you. A word of knowledge can be in the prophecy. The prophecy can be a vehicle through which the word of knowledge can come. A word of knowledge can be, the Lord says, when you were 13, you went through a traumatic time, you were abused. Well, only by the Spirit of God could we know that at 13 that person went through something, they were abused. But I say unto you that I'm healing you of that abuse and I'm changing it. You know, the word of knowledge can come through the prophetic word. Sometimes we kind of say prophecy is the word of knowledge. And you can predict things through prophecy, but technically the word of knowledge is what is in the prophetic word that makes it. That gives you the ability to know something from the past, present, or the future. Okay? Thank you. Let me try to get through some more of these questions. This is from, okay, we want to try to get some different people on here. Okay, I don't want people to get a spirit of rejection. Okay, what is your view on prophets who go to New Age festivals to do dream interpretation? I'm not sure. I've never heard of that before. I guess what they're saying is I'm a real prophet, so I'm going to go somewhere and give people the real prophetic dream interpretation. I guess there's nothing wrong with that as long as they're not doing psychic stuff or they're not operating in the psychic realm. I don't have a problem with that. I know people have set up prayer. Sometimes we go out in public and evangelize, and we set up a table. And we say free prayer. And when people come, well, we say you need prayer. Everyone needs prayer. They pray, and we begin to prophesy and begin to minister to them prophetically, evangelistically, and get them saved. So that is possible. I'm not so religious until I don't think that a prophet can do that. So it depends on what they're doing. Okay, this is from Tayshawn. I am a seer prophet. Will you do a class on the prophetic seers? Yes, I will. Just give me some time. We'll get to different kinds of prophets and try to talk about seers and shamar prophets and the top prophets and governmental prophets and pastoral prophets and preaching prophets and traveling prophets and all the different prophets. Okay. Where did the debate over the use of prophet versus prophetess for a woman come from? And is it valid? Should the body even worry about something that, to me, is futile argument? Well, the word prophetess was just female term for prophet. The Bible does not say he gave some apostles prophets, prophetesses. So we can call females prophets. A female can be a prophet. A male can be a prophet. Sometimes we use prophetess because it's the female version. But again, I think you're right. It's something that can be trivial and we're arguing over terms, it's not the term or the title, it's the function that counts. So we do have females in our church that we call prophets. Sometimes we call some prophetess. But sometimes prophetess to me can sound very religious. And so we in our culture, we tend to say more prophet than prophetess. But again, it's technically prophetess is just female prophet. And people get all upset and argue over stuff that's not even important. The key is the function in the prophetic gift and anointing. Okay, this is from, I think it's Asja. Asja, please share an experience about prophesying correction to someone you know well. Okay, I don't know if I can think off of my head. I may need to come back to you and or do this on a later program. Just thinking of someone I minister correction to. So I'll have to pass on that one. Let me go down to this one, and I'm going to wrap this up. This is from Queen. The prophetic exercises to develop believers in their prophetic flow are great, but are there any exercises you can recommend for those believers who don't have access to nurturing assemblies? I don't know what to tell you. You know, you need to get somewhere where there's some activation, even if you have to travel. Get around a prophetic company. Go to a prophetic church. Find somewhere. It's worth the trip. Have prophetic. There are churches around the country that do have prophetic gatherings and prophetic activations. We do it on a consistent basis, once a month in our church. There are churches around the country that do it. You can go online and sometimes Google and look up prophetic activation and try to find it, because it's very difficult to do these exercises unless you're around people that do them, or get a small group together and get look at the prophetic exercises and begin to pray and ask God to teach you how to flow in this, or call someone in or get a hold of someone that can come in and do some prophetic exercises with you in a small group format. Okay, thank you for that. Okay, all right, let's try this one here. How would you move in your God-given office, apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, if the eldership of the church has never spoken over your life? If you believe you know where you are called to do? Well, again, part of the problem we have in many of our churches is that the culture is not prophetic, and sometimes leaders are not good at releasing people. That's another whole teaching on the apostolic ministry. I believe one of the things we need with the apostolic restoration is we need leaders who are apostolic, who have a vision of nurturing, raising up, and releasing their members into their membership ministries. Unfortunately, many pastors have what I call a pyramid mentality. They're at the top. Everyone else is at the bottom. They're the chief. Everyone else is an Indian, and they do everything, and they have a difficult time releasing and activating people. And that's why I think apostolic and prophetically we need to change the way we conduct leadership and really begin to raise up people. And I would go to my leaders with my concern, tell them what my field called to do, ask them how can you help me release my gifting, and they should be able to tell you at least their protocol as to how we release our gifts, whether it's a certain amount of study, a certain time, whatever. And that's what I would recommend you're doing. If you don't have a prophetic culture and they don't prophesy, what I'm teaching in these classes will have to be brought into churches before they move in that. And so I really would just encourage you, you still may need to get prophetic ministry. It may not be from your leaders. And sometimes leaders have a problem with that because they don't want their members getting prophetic ministry from anywhere, even though they can't get it from their local church. But I tell people, if you need prophetic ministry, you need to find a good prophetic church, not something weird, goofy, flaky, because I understand pastors don't want their members getting anything off, but find a good prophetic church somewhere you can go and receive prophetic ministry and touch and bless your life, and I think that would do a lot to help you in your calling and in your gifting. Okay, here's a good one. Do you believe in prophesying to family members? Absolutely. I believe family members should get prophetic ministry. I believe you can have prophetic families. I believe you should prophesy over your children. I believe that we should release the word of the Lord. Family members can be very open to hearing the voice of God because you know them. You have a relationship with them. It's not like just going and grabbing someone off the street and giving them the word. You have a connection, a relationship. You can pray with them, minister to them prophetically. I absolutely recommend that you do that. Well, I'm going to pray. And before I do, I want to Thank those of you who kept tuning in after we lost first link. We'll put them together somehow and try to make it one and put it on our website. If you missed the previous teachings, this is part five. We have four of them. You can go to www.crusaderschurch.org. And if you want a copy of this book, God Still Speaks, you can go to johneckhartministries.com and order that book. I want to pray and minister prophetically to those who are viewing this program. Father, I thank you for everyone that is here that is viewing this program. Lord, I thank you for the prophetic word that's coming now. The Lord said, I'm releasing a new stream, a new river that shall begin to flow in different churches. Even as I spoke in my word, that out of your belly shall flow the river of living or water. The Lord said, I'm causing prophetic rivers to be released inside of many of you that are viewing this broadcast. And I'm causing a new river to flow in churches. I'm causing a prophetic river not only to flow in members and prophets, but also a prophetic river shall begin to flow among the leaders of the churches, among pastors, among elders, and they will know that not only are they called to watch and to pray and to teach and to shepherd, but they're also called to prophesy and release destiny and release purpose and activate and help people walk in their callings. And I'm going to use the governmental leaders. Oh, yes, some who are religious will say, I don't want that. And the Lord say, they will be moved aside. They'll not flow in this. But others will say, oh, I'll pick up that rod, even as Moses picked up the rod. For some have said, oh, this prophetic is like a snake. It's like a serpent. I don't want to handle this. But, oh, even as God told Moses to pick up the serpent, and it became a rod, many of those who are afraid to pick it up, afraid to pick up the prophetic, are going to pick it up, and it's going to become a rod in their hand. It's going to become a thing of authority, even as Moses used the rod to release miracles and signs and wonders and bring deliverance to Israel. Many of my leaders shall pick up a new rod. It shall be a prophetic rod. It shall be an apostolic rod, and as they extend that rod, they're going to see miracles and breakthroughs in the lives of the people of God. So get ready for a new river to flow among the presbyteries, among the elders, among the presbyters, of the houses of God, for I'm changing even the culture of local churches, and I'm bringing a new standard. I'm bringing a new revelation. I'm bringing a new understanding. I'm causing many to hear the prophetic word and hear teaching that they've not heard before, and I'm beginning to stir up people and cause them to go deeper in the prophetic and know that there's more for you, says the Lord. So be encouraged and continue to study and continue to press in, for it is a new day and a new season of greater prophetic release, says the Lord, and I shall cause destinies that have been hindered and aborted, and destinies that have been held back, says the Lord. I shall cause destinies to be released through the prophetic word. I shall cause people to rise up and begin to shift in a new destiny, new power, and new ministry. So be encouraged, for my word is going out to cause people to break free from religion and tradition and witchcraft and things that have held back their destiny and their purpose. And so I speak destiny and purpose into you, says the Lord. I cause the hindrances and the blockages and the obstructions that have tried to hold you back to be released, and I break the cords of the wicked, and I loose you, and I send my word to heal you and deliver you, said the Lord, to release you into your destiny, into your purpose, and you'll rise up with the word of the Lord in your mouth, and you'll do what I've called you to do, and you'll go forward into new doors and new places and new areas and new nations and new cities, and I'll cause your ministries to grow and to expand. So know that this is the hour of release. I cause my apostles, I cause my prophets, I cause my elders to rise up and begin to prophesy and begin to release. For yes, there's been much teaching. There have been teaching gatherings and evangelistic gatherings, but oh, in the days to come, there'll be prophetic gatherings, and you'll worship and you'll fast and you'll pray and you'll release my word. For some have said, oh, we don't need prophecy. We have the written word, but oh, you do need to hear my voice. For man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of my mouth. There is a proceeding word that comes from my mouth at this hour. What I'm speaking now, says the Lord, for this hour, for this day, and for the days to come. So get ready for a new release of the preceding word. And so, Father, I bless everyone that is tuned in. I thank you, Lord, for releasing a new grace, a new faith, for faith comes by hearing, and Lord, doing new things in their life. And Father, I bless them. I speak favor, peace, and shalom over their lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, don't forget to tune me in every Monday evening at 7 p.m. That's Central Standard Time. And don't forget to go to our websites, crusaderschurch.org, to view the previous messages, or johneckhartministries.com to order the books. I also have some great MP3 teachings on the prophetic. I actually have a series called Prophetic Presbytery where I did an extensive teaching on this in our local church that you can download straight from MP3 onto your computer. If you want more study on this, just go to johneckhartministries.com and order those materials. Well, until you hear from me again, God bless you. Love you. I look forward to seeing you again. Let someone else know about these programs every Monday evening at 7 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in, and hopefully I'll speak to you again next week at the same time. God bless.